Hey, one more time as we get started. Can we give it up for our graduates this morning and for their families? Excited for them, excited for you guys. Know that God has incredible things in store for you, that God is going to launch you out all over the place in the months and the years to come. We're going to get into that more in just a couple of minutes. But I think all of us that have graduated high school at some point, we can recall that time. We can recall the moment, we can recall the weekend, we can recall the graduation. It's this milestone marker in our lives. It's something that we can look back on. It's something that we know that we've accomplished that launches us out into the future ahead. So we're excited for you guys. And I want to make a point just sort of up front that all of us experience this a little bit differently. That every generation, as they come through their high school graduation, it might look or feel a little bit different, and we can just have a really quick, easy visual illustration to demonstrate this. So seniors, you're included in this as graduates, but if you graduated high school and you owned a cell phone when you graduated high school, put your hand up for me real quick and let me just see, look around. All right, that's fewer than I thought, to be honest with you, okay? Now, if you did not own a cell phone when you graduated high school, put your hand up. Let me see those hands. All right, there's a few more of us that didn't have cell phones when we graduated high school. And here's the thing, right? I just point that out really quickly to show you something that you already know. Generations have differences, right? That there's differences among the generations, and that's okay. It's a natural thing. The unfortunate thing is when generations do not work out their differences in a God-honoring way, in a purpose-filled kind of way, right? Unfortunately, it's not always worked out the right way. Sometimes older generations have this Clint Eastwood, get off my lawn mentality, and they don't want to work with or deal with anyone that's younger than them. You might have heard some of the older among us or in the community saying things like kids these days or back in my day, and sort of a derogatory sort of tone. And I hope that's not you. I hope that's none of us in here. But sometimes the younger generations are just as bad. And when mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or someone older says something that they don't like, they sort of push back and it's no, things have changed. You're old fashioned or my new favorite. Okay, boomer, those kind of things, right? They just sort of push back and there's not this God-honoring way of reconciling the differences. And let me just tell you, that is not how this is supposed to be. As we continue our series this morning on cultivating these genuine, godly, authentic relationships, we're going to dive into God's Word and we're going to learn about cultivating God-honoring and purposeful relationships with our kids. But I know that as soon as I say that, it's possible for many in the room to sort of check out on me thinking, well, I don't have kids in the home or I don't have kids. I can sort of check out on this. And here's the thing. Right? This isn't just about cultivating relationships with children that live in our home or with children that we're about to launch out of our home. When we go to the Word of God, that the Bible is very, very clear that within the church, we should be cultivating relationships across the generational board. This is something that we see all throughout the Word of God. And we should be cultivating, we should be nurturing these relationships across the generational board with a very distinct purpose that comes straight from the Word of God. We should be seeking to pass down the love of God and the works of God to the generations that are coming behind us. That's God's plan and that is God's designed for us this morning. So here's our flow for today as we look into the Bible together. I'm going to break our message down into two parts. I'm going to start with responsibility, and then I'm going to shift to reminders, right? Responsibility and reminders. I want you to understand your responsibility. From the oldest in the room to the very youngest in the room this morning, God's design is that we would learn from one another. God's design is that we would pass things down to one another as we grow older, right? We're responsible to one another before God to ensure that we do this. And there's major spiritual implications here that we see as we process this. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another. One generation shall declare your mighty acts to the next. If you look at that verse, they've got it on the screen for you. This is a generational thing. Yes, it includes moms and dads, but it does not stop there. If that was the intent of this verse, if that was the extent of God's design, this verse would say so. It would say parents pass it down from one generation in your home to the next in your home. But it doesn't say that. It says one generation of the people of God will pass down the love and the works and the acts of God to the generation that comes after them, right? That the scope is not narrowed down to parents alone, although we know parents are included. Last week, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it's God speaking to the people of God again as they prepare to take the promised land. And he says that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands I give to you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children, right? God is clear. Well, we are to impress the commands of God on our children and on all of the generation that comes behind us. That is a responsibility that you and I have as followers of Jesus. We have that responsibility before God. And we have that responsibility before the people that are coming after us, before the generations that are following behind us. And here's what I want you to hear me say this morning. The older you are in the room right now, the more generations you have behind you that you are now able to pour the love of God and the works of God back into. Right, the older you are in the room right now, the more you are needed by the church family and by the people of God to invest back into those that are coming behind you. But when a generation fails to do that, when a generation fails to invest back in to the generations behind them, there are extreme spiritual consequences. We see that in the Bible in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. They're going to put that on the screen. Let me read this for you, and then I'm going to give you the context of this verse. It says this, "And all that generation were gathered to their fathers." That means they died. "All of that generation died, and there arose another generation after them," look at this, "that did not know the Lord or the work that the Lord had done for Israel." This verse tells us that when Joshua and the generation of Joshua died, they're the ones that believed God. They're the ones that went into the promised land. They're the ones that took over the promised land with the help and with the aid of God, right? That they did all of this. And the Bible says that when they died, the generation that came next did not know God. The generation that came next did not know the miraculous works that God had done for them. They didn't know about the Red Sea. They didn't know how God had brought his people across the Jordan. They didn't know about the miraculous battle of Jericho and the conquest of the promised land. They didn't know any of that. And you've got to think, how? How did they not know that? That is their history. I mean, that is their heritage, right? That is what God had done for them as a people, right, in the decades prior to bring them to where they were at that very moment. How did they not know that? It's easy, really. Generation before them got lazy. The generation before them did not cultivate the relationship that they had with the generation behind them in a God-honoring and biblical way. The generation before them did not pass down the love of God, did not pass down the works of God. They might have had great relationships. Things might have been smooth and easy in the households, but it wasn't biblical. And it wasn't God-honoring. They did not pass down the love and the works of God to the generation behind them. They did not obey God. And here's the thing. The people of Israel slipped into a dark time spiritually. If you know the Bible, you know the book of Judges. It is a time where the Bible says people did what was right in their own eyes. And it was a series of judgment and repentance and judgment and repentance over and over and over again because people did not know the love and the works of God because it was not passed down by the previous generation. And let me just say, this plays out in real life, right? Don't think, man, Judges, this is a long time ago. It's on a page written thousands of years ago. This doesn't still happen today. I'm telling you that it does, right? We've spent a lot of time the past several years over in England, and some of Chelsea and I, man, our dearest friends live over there. We've developed some incredible ministry partners there. England used to be, man, the light of the world, sending missionaries and the gospel all across the world. But if you go there now, man, it's really hard to find a believer in Jesus. I believe that currently less than 3% of the people in England profess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you, I've talked to the people in the churches there. I've talked to the grandparents that are over there. And I promise you, I could go over there right now and round up a handful of them, 80 to 90 years old, and they would stand right here and tell you that they blew it. Right, that they did exactly what this verse warns us about, that they did not pass down the love of God and the works of God to their kids. And because they did not pass it down to their kids did not pass it down to their grandkids. And now that country is where it is spiritually because one generation did not cultivate biblical and godly relationships with the generations that were following, faithful to pass down the love and the works of God. Listen, if you know Jesus, if you're a follower of Christ, God's word commands you. It's not a suggestion here. God's word commands you to talk to the generations that are coming after you. Each and every one of us has to own this. Each and every one of us has to feel not just the burden, not just the responsibility. Each and every one of us gets to feel the privilege of sharing the love and the work of God with the generations that are coming after us. And now we're going to take some time to see what this can look like. If you've got a Bible, open to Psalm 127. That's where we're going to be for the rest of our time today. Before we got there, I just wanted to set up the notion that all of us are responsible for this, that all of us, kids in the home or not, are responsible for cultivating these God-honoring relationships where the work of God is passed down. Psalm 127 is a psalm that was actually written by David's son, by Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. And it's a psalm for the family. And so a lot of times as the families would travel up to worship, the families would recite this psalm in the car together. I think that's something that would be fun for you to do next week, come into church. Get out Psalm 127, recite it in the car together on your way to church. That's what they would do. They'd recite this on the way to worship. I want us to look at it together this morning. 127 verse 1 says this, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those that build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." Circle that. We're coming back there. "Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate." Listen, knowing that we have to own this passing down of our faith to the generations behind us, our first reminder about cultivating godly relationships with our kids, about cultivating godly relationships with the generations that follow after us, is very simple. Solomon in verse 1 reminds us that God builds the relationships. So we need to understand and know that God is going to build the relationships in our family, and God is going to build the relationship among our families here within the body of Christ. If you look at verse 1, we see that God's the builder. God builds households. God builds relationships. When we go at it alone, when we try to cultivate these relationships with our kids, when we try to cultivate relationships with others on our own, apart from the work of God, verse 1 says that we do it in vain. That there will not be eternal value or eternal significance that goes with this. This is a warning, parents. Do not be an overconfident parent. This is a warning. Do not be overconfident in your skills and your wisdom alone to parent your children, your kids, in a godly way. Don't walk through parenthood thinking, "I've got this all figured out." Don't walk through parenthood thinking, "Man, I've got it. I'm the perfect parent. My kids would never do this. My kids are always going to do this." This verse tells us that overconfidence in our life and in our parenting will only set us up for failure. Solomon reminds us, verse 1, that God is the one that will build the relationship that we are to have with our kids, the relationship with those that are coming behind us. If you want to cultivate that godly relationship, that relationship that's real, that's true, that's deep, that it's authentic, you have to rely on God. Knowing that He builds the relationship, I want to encourage you, seek wisdom from God. Or if you're unsure how to move forward in a relational matter with your family, with your kids, with those in the church family, James chapter 1 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God and He'll give it generously to you. Ask God for wisdom. If you want to cultivate that godly relationship, depend on Him and pray. Right? Pray, asking God to cultivate the relationship that you have with your kids, with your future kids, with the kids that are here in the church, with the generations that are here in the church. Listen, I know that you pray for your kids. I know that you pray for others. I want to encourage you this morning to pray specifically for your relationship with them. Pray and ask God for soft hearts, for moldable hearts, so you can connect with your kids on a deeper level, so you can connect with your grandkids on a deeper level, so you can connect with different generations in the church on a deeper level. Pray for God to meld those hearts together as you seek to cultivate those kind of relationships with the generations that are coming behind you. The second reminder Solomon gives us is this. He reminds us that your family is a blessing, right? And the families that you connect with around you in the church family, they are a blessing. Look at verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, right? You see in the verse right there that children are a blessing from God. Children are not a burden to deal with. Children are not something that takes up your time or your energy or your resources. Children are a blessing from God. Having children around us, whether they're ours or somebody else's, being in a room with different generations around us, man, that should fire us up, right? This is a great reminder that the people that God has placed in our life, that they are a blessing. So knowing that they're a blessing, I want to encourage you to do this. Treat your family like they are a blessing. Right? Treat your kids like they are a blessing. Parents, if you want to cultivate those godly relationships with your kids, if you want the heart connection open between you and your kids, let them know that they are a blessing to you. Let them know that you are so overjoyed and happy that they are your kids and that you are their parents. Kids, you have a part in this too. Students, you have a part in this. If you want to cultivate those God-honoring, good relationships with your parents, let your parents know that you see them as a blessing, right? Thank them for what they've done in your life. Thank them for the investment that they make in you. Let them know that they are a blessing to you. And church, it's the same thing, right? Be thankful for the blessing of the families that God is bringing into our church family, the opportunities that you have to invest in them, to support them, to love them, to nurture them, to encourage them, to share the love and the works of God with them. Treat one another like we are a blessing from God, because that's what God's word calls us to one another. Here's the thing. When we see someone else as a burden, when we see someone else as a mere responsibility, we have no desire to develop a relationship there. We have no desire to grow in a relationship there. We have no desire to let our hearts be opened to those that are there. But here's the thing. When we look at this and we see that we are a blessing from God to one another, when we see one another the way that God does, our desire to connect and our desire to grow completely changes. So treat your family, treat your children like a blessing from God, knowing this, that ultimately your blessing from God is going to be shared with the world around you. That's our third and final reminder from Solomon. Number 3, your blessing is going to be shared. If you look at verse 4, one more time, what does it say our kids are? It says our kids are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. I want you to think about arrow in the hand of a warrior. What does an arrow do? Well, if it stays in the hand of the warrior, it doesn't do much, right? An arrow in the hand of the warrior is quickly launched out from the warrior. Arrows go out, right? They attack evil. Arrows go out. They protect the vulnerable. They protect the family. Arrows go out and they win the battle wherever the warrior sends that arrow out to. Arrows depart from the warrior with a purpose as they go out, right? There's a mission as it goes out. They don't wander away. They are sent out with an absolute purpose. I want you to think for a minute, moms and dads in the room, grandparents in the room, what kind of arrows do you want leaving your home? Think about this, church family. What kind of arrows do we want to send out of here every Sunday afternoon, every Monday throughout the week? What kind of arrows do we want to send from our church family into the community around us? Listen, our seniors here, they're being sent out. That's the word of God, Psalm 127, verse 4. Our seniors, they're being sent out, right, all over the place in the coming weeks and months. And we're excited that they're sending out, knowing that they're sent out with a purpose. Moms, dads, grandparents, church family, think about who and how we are sharing this blessing of God with the world, right? Our blessing is going to be shared, and it makes us think, okay, what do we do with that? Our application here is very, very simple. Our application, knowing that the arrow is going out, is to shape the arrow, right? You and I are called to shape the arrow. I remember that when I was a kid, I would visit my grandparents' house in Alabama. And they lived in this little neighborhood, and to get back to their neighborhood, you'd have to drive through these fields. There's a field on each side of the road there. And when I was in town, if the farmer was plowing his field to get it ready for planting, my grandpa would take me and my brother, and we'd go down to that field, and we'd spend a lot of time digging around the fresh plowed field looking for arrowheads. And every now and then, we'd find one. And as a kid, finding an arrowhead in that field was like finding a buried treasure. We'd get thrilled. We were so pumped. I have one. I've kept it all these years. This is one of the ones that we found. Well, we found this arrow out in that field, and we took it back to his house, and we cleaned it up, and we washed it up, and we told stories, and we thought, and we wondered, and what was this arrow used for? What was it sent out for? What had happened with this arrow over the years? And we would just dream and discuss. And my grandfather, what would always take, you know, very, very careful time to explain to us about the arrow. And he would explain, listen, here's the thing, right? It didn't turn into an arrow by accident. There was careful work done here, right? That they didn't just find a rock and stick it on the end of a stick and shoot it out. That's not how it worked. It took time. There was no shortcut with this, that there was time shaping it. There was time carving things away. There was time striking it on all sides. There's grooves that were made here, marks that were made. This was not an accident. In the same way, if you and I are going to cultivate godly relationships with our kids, with the generations behind us, where we're going to pass down the love of God and the works of God, we must spend intentional time, according to Solomon, shaping the arrows here. That means moms and dads, shaping your children to know the love of God, to know the word of God, to know the works of God. That means church family, pitching in to shape the generations coming behind us. That means 65-year-olds in the room, man, it means pitching in and shaping the 35-year-olds in the room to be sent out of here knowing the love and the works of God. It doesn't matter how old we get, we are continually being shaped. We are continually being formed and molded. We're continuing to learn. And the prayer is that we are being shaped by godly influences that are helping us to better know the love of God and the works of God. And I hope that you're thinking about this right now, thinking, man, okay, right? I don't want to be responsible for dull arrows in my family or in my church family being sent out. I don't want to be responsible for ineffective arrows for the gospel being sent out from my home or from my church. How? How can I be sure to shape the arrows that God has given me influence over? There's a couple of things. The first one is very, very simple. You're going to roll your eyes when I tell you this. So if somebody next to you rolls their eyes, just sort of elbow them in the stomach a little bit and tell them to bear with me. But the number one thing that you can do to shape the arrows that God has placed in your life, it's very simple. It is do what the Bible says, right? Do what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Deuteronomy chapter 6, impress the word of God to your children. Pass them down to the next generation. Psalm 145, declare his mighty acts one generation to the next. Kids, you have a part in this. The Bible speaks specifically to you. If you have a parent in the room, this is to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first command with a promise that it will go well with you on the earth. I'm telling you, God's word gives you a promise that as your parents are cultivating this godly relationship with you, as they are teaching you about the love and the work of God, if you'll simply respond in obedience and honor to them, God's word says that your days are going to be good here on this earth. We must do what the Bible says. And as we do that, man, we will be shaped, and the arrows we were responsible for will be shaped and sent out into the world with the love of God and the works of God, ready to point people to the hope that we have in God. And the second thing that we can do to shape the arrows is simply this: spend intentional time together. Notice that word intentional. Intentional time together. Listen, time did not turn this rock into an arrow. Somebody was intentional. Somebody worked. Somebody saw potential. Somebody did the hard work, the patient work to make this what it was designed to be. In the same way, if we're going to cultivate these godly relationships with our kids, where there's a good connection and a way for us to pass down the word of God and the works of God to the generations behind us, our kids or not, we have to spend intentional time together. There's a study that came out just a few years ago. I've read it often, referenced it often. Several people were involved in this, LifeWay, Student Life, several kids ministry resources. And here's the study. It's very fascinating to me. They interviewed thousands of young adults, ages 18 to 29 years old. And the similar thing to all these young adults is they were raised in Christian homes. And so they begin to interview him, and they found that a good percentage of those 18 to 29-year-olds that were raised in Christian homes as young adults had chosen to not continue walking in their relationship with Jesus. But a percentage of them had. And so they wanted to identify the patterns in the home life of those that continued to walk with Jesus as young adults. And as they continued to identify it, as they asked question after question after question, four patterns, four habits in the home rose above everything else that were a pretty good indicator of intentional time spent together in the home to pass down the love of God and the works of God. Four things. I'm going to share those with you really quickly as we close. And all of them, here's the thing. It goes back to doing what the Bible says. This is not rocket science here. God does not want to hide this from us. We just simply have to walk out what God has written down in His Word. The first habit that we see in the homes is this. Don't be overwhelmed by this. You start slow if you need to. But these families had dinner together 5 to 7 nights per week. Intentional time together in the home. You look all throughout Scripture. What happens when people get together? They break bread. They fellowship. They connect. They laugh. They pray together. You can sit around the table, talk about the love of God, the works of God, the goodness of God in your family. You can celebrate all that God has done as you gather together as a family with intentional time. I'm not sure if there's something magic about dinner. Some meals are probably better than other meals. I think that what's going on here is the intentional time that mom and dad spend passing down the love of God and the work of God over a meal. They have to slow down and talk. The second pattern or habit in the home that was identified was they served together as a family. The young adults in this survey said they served together as a family. You want to cultivate a relationship, a growing, healthy, exciting, good relationship with your kids, serve with them. Right, serve together as a family. For some in this study, it meant going on mission trips with mom and dad and serving people that were in need. For some in this study, it means serving in the church. It means being an usher with your parents, being a greeter with your parents, serving in kids ministry with your parents. It might mean showing up on Saturday mornings out front with our community ministry center, passing out food to those in our community with your parents, but serving with your parents. You are living out the very word of God with your children when you do that. What does Jesus say? The number one commandment is love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he went on and said number two is love your neighbor as yourself. So as you are serving with the generations that are coming behind you, what are you doing? You're living out the very commands of Jesus with the world around you. And you're cultivating a relationship where the love of God is going to be passed right down to those that are coming after you. The third habit that we notice from these families is this. They had spiritual conversations in the home. Now, this is deeper than just saying talk to one another. This is talking intentionally about spiritual things. It goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. He doesn't just say impress them on your children. He says talk about them at your house. Talk about these things when you lie down. Talk about them when you get up. Talk about them when you're on the road. Write them on your gate. Write them on your hands. Write them on your forehead. Put them on the door frames of your house. This is intentional conversation about spiritual things happening in the home. Listen, every day we're exposed to a lot of messages. There are a lot of people in the world battling for our hearts and for our minds. There are a lot of people in the world battling for the hearts and minds of our kids and for the generations that are coming after us. They're exposed to a lot. They talk about a lot. They see a lot. Listen, moms and dads, we have to address what's going on in the world with the truth of the Word of God with our kids in our homes. Right? If we don't address things, you can be assured that the world is addressing it for them outside of our homes, okay? Talk about spiritual things in the home. Bust out the Word of God. Don't be afraid to confront what's going on in the culture around us with the truth of the Word of God in your hand. Talk about spiritual things in the home with the generations coming behind you. And then the last habit in these homes is just a good reminder that church family, we are all in this together. That the final habit of these kids that continued to walk with Jesus as young adults was this. They had at least one faith-focused adult in their life in addition to mom or dad. Somebody outside of their home pouring back into them. Somebody outside of their home doing Psalm 145, investing in the generation that's coming after them, pouring the truth of the Word of God back into them. My buddy, when his son trusted Christ about 2 years ago, he came to me and said, here's the thing. I want you checking up on him spiritually. I want you asking him questions. I want you asking him what he's learning, what God's teaching him. I want you praying for him. I want you to be a spot, to be a place, to be a resource where he can ask questions if he's ever not comfortable coming to mom or dad with those questions. Listen, follow the advice here. Follow the pattern here. Get into a spiritual community of people where people have access and can be that for your kids. They can be that for you and your family, where they can be that safe and trusted place to invest in one another. And this expands so much farther than just the family. Older men, man, invest in the younger men in the church. Older ladies, invest in the younger ladies that are here in our church family. Parents, reach out to godly men and women in your lives and invite them in to your family to love on your kids and to point your kids to the love of God and to the works of God. Listen, if you want to cultivate these relationships that God desires for you to have with your kids, for you to have with the generations coming behind us, if you want to pass on the love of God and the works of God, it's going to take you spiritually investing, like God's word says, in your kids. Right, church family, it's going to take you spiritually investing, like God's word tells us, in those that are coming behind us. And as we invest, just know that as time goes on, we are shaping those arrows. We are shaping one another. And every single week, every single day, arrows are being sent out from this church family, this community, into the world around us, equipped and armed, ready to share the love of God and the works of God with a community that desperately needs the hope of God. Would you pray with me? As we pray and bow our heads, I just want you to think about the love of God and the works of God. Think about that love that we get to share that is so central, is so crucial to who we are. And this morning, if you're sitting here thinking that you're unable to share the love of God because you've never experienced the love of God, listen, I want to start with you. If you have never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you have never gotten your relationship right with God, with our Heavenly Father, do not leave here this morning without trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Almost every week, we have people that place their faith and trust in Jesus. And if that's you this morning, at the end of our time together, we've got a connection room right in the back on the left-hand side. There's a cross above the door right there. The doors will be open. There'll be people that are there waiting to receive you. Just walk in and say, you're ready to know the love of God. And they'll lead you through God's word with what it means to trust in Jesus as your Savior. For those of you that know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want to ask you this morning, how are you doing cultivating that relationship with your kids? Again, the relationship's designed with purpose. Right, that purpose to pass on the love of God and the works of God to your kids that God has blessed you with. How's that going? If you'd say this morning that, you know, that there's a struggle in that relationship there, just take these next few minutes to pray. Ask for restoration in that relationship. Ask for God's healing over that relationship. Ask for God to enable you to walk out the truth of his word in your home with your children. If you'd say, you know what, I feel like my relationship is great with my kids, but honestly, I have not been shaping my kids. I have not been spiritually investing in my kids. I want to encourage you, go before God with that right now. Confess that before God and ask him in this moment to change your heart, to change your mind, and to help you move forward, committed to spiritually investing in your children, so they would grow up knowing the love of God and the works of God. Church family, have you gotten to the point where you've been able to move this outside of your biological family? Are you investing in the men and women that God's placed in your life around you? Are you investing in the generations that are coming behind you here within our church? Listen, if you are never outside of your generation, I'm just telling you, you're missing the opportunity to do what God has called you to do. Think about how and who you could be used by God to invest in Who's coming behind you? Ask God to give you that wisdom this morning. And listen, there's no age limit on this. Seniors, students, think about who's coming behind you. How are you pouring back? How are you investing in the classes that are coming up after you? And then finally, one question for all of us. We talked about being shaped and shaping others. Or just this reminder, just this question, are you still being shaped by the Word of God? So we don't graduate from that. We don't age out of that. For as long as God has us here, He's teaching us, He is instructing us, He is molding us. I want to encourage you this morning, be obedient to the Word of God in whatever season of life God has you. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we don't have to guess what you've called us to do. God, we thank you that healthy and good and growing and vibrant relationships with our kids and with the generations behind us, God, they're not just possible. God, they're expected in your word, God. Lord, I pray that we would settle for nothing less, God, but healthy, biblical, godly relationships between the generations here and our families and in our church family. Lord, we love you, we trust you, we thank you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.